Yeah, thank you very much, Ken and Larry. I really, really loved listening to you. You are so sweet. Jay's not going to be here tonight. He is finishing up some work for one of his clients, and he's not able to come. But I'm going to use that as an example of how we all need to follow guidance. I had been, oops, let me turn off my phone. I had been listening to the sanctuary for a few hours. I listened to part of Hank today, and then I listened to Dolores, and then I listened to Cheryl and Maria. And I needed to step away for a little bit, just to kind of, get a little bit of a break, a little bit of silence before I came back and taught. And so I went and made myself some tea and got myself some chocolate-dipped bananas. I was just sitting back, taking a little bit of a break. And just as I was about to eat my chocolate-covered bananas, this feeling came that I should, text Jay and remind him about the Michael Langford teaching. And my thought was, I don't want to do that. I want to eat my chocolate-covered banana. I don't want to text Jay. I want to eat my chocolate-covered banana. And then I realized, wait a minute. I just had a prompt, and here I am through self-will saying no to the prompt. Very little, but a very little prompt, but I realized I caught myself. So I texted Jay and said, I'll see you in about half an hour for the Michael Langford group. And he texted back that no, he wouldn't be able to make it. And asked me if I could do it. And I wonder if that would have happened if I hadn't texted him, So, we have to pay attention to that guidance. So as a result, I am here. I'm the only one that's here tonight. And I am also recording, and I will also post the recording. So everything's taken care of. What we are looking at is how to live a life that knows only love. And tonight we are going to start on page 86 with the Loving Consciousness Method. And this is a little bit funny, too, because right now in the sanctuary on Sunday nights, I am teaching a mini-series on skills that will help us to awaken. And this past Sunday night, the skill I taught was meditation. And on Sunday night, I had time to practice a little bit of awareness, watching awareness, using self-inquiry as the tool to get to awareness, watching awareness. But there wasn't time to also practice the Loving Consciousness Method, which I was also recommending. So I said, just please go look up one of my audios on the Loving Consciousness Method. And now here I am, just a few days later, 3 days later, and I'm going to be teaching the Loving Consciousness Method. And I think the best way to teach the Loving Consciousness Method is to lead us through it. We're just going to relax, and we're going to practice the Loving Consciousness Method. I'm going to do that a little bit differently than we would do probably if we were alone. So I'll talk about the difference between what I'm going to lead us through and what I would do if I was alone, what I did this morning on my purple sofa. But before I do anything, let me read Michael's instructions for the Loving Consciousness Method. His instructions are on page 86. In order to get in touch with the feeling of love, you can think of the human you love the most for a few minutes before each practice session. Then use that same feeling of love to love your consciousness. The human you love the most might be a son, a daughter, a wife, a husband, a father, a mother, a boyfriend, a girlfriend. Or if your strongest feelings of love are for a pet, you could think of that pet for a few minutes before beginning your practice session. And I would say that if your feelings of love come from a deity, for example, thinking of Jesus or thinking of Buddha or something like that, that that would be acceptable too. But the point with the loving consciousness method is that you want to have that feeling of love in your meditation. I find in my personal experience that it was a great advantage to me. Oh, you know what? I bet Jay hasn't gone over chapter 10 yet. I bet I should go over chapter 10. So let me go over chapter 10, because I was going to say, I think it was a great advantage to me to have a little more instruction first. And then just as I was about to say that, it occurred to me that probably chapter 10 is where I should be starting. Because chapter 10 is where those preliminary instructions are that are really helpful with the meditation. So I'm backing up to page 79. The loving consciousness method is practiced when you're engaged in no other activities. In other words, this is a setting down and closing your eyes type of meditation. You wouldn't practice the loving consciousness method while you're driving a car. You can practice the loving all method while you're driving a car, but the loving consciousness method is a more traditional type of meditation in that you're sitting with your eyes closed. Michael always recommends, of course, for any form of meditation that he recommends, that you practice it as much as you are willing to. In fact, he says, set aside as much time every day to practice the loving consciousness method as you are willing to set aside. Every day, drop as many unnecessary activities as you can to create more time for practicing the loving consciousness method. He recommends here in this book practicing for at least 2 hours every day. But when I began practicing the loving consciousness method, I wasn't able to do that. And, you know, Michael was not heavy-handed with me. He was very gentle with me in a very loving way and said that an hour was fine for me for now. And in fact, he asked me to practice for an hour for, that was May of probably 2015. And he said, you know, for the remainder of this year, go ahead and practice for just 1 hour. And then, you know, beginning of next year, maybe increase it to 65 minutes, you know. And so he was very gentle and very loving. So even though his recommendation is 2 hours every day, if someone found that they were like me and they just, you know, they would fall asleep or in some way they just didn't have the discipline to sit in meditation that long, I would say whatever you can do, genuinely, whatever you can do. And what I found, my personal experience, is that when I began the loving consciousness method, it was a bit of a discipline. Maybe I was even sitting down to meditate out of my love for Michael. I got through algebra because I loved my algebra teacher in college. I didn't have a crush on Michael. I did have a crush on my algebra teacher, but I loved Michael. I loved his purity, you know, his purity. And so it was a very pure love. And so probably out of love for Michael, I meditated, but meditating was a discipline. However, as I practiced meditation out of love for Michael, what happened was I fell in love with the meditation. I fell in love with the loving consciousness method. And so it started off as a discipline, but through practice, it ceased to be a discipline and it became a love. And in fact, for me, I did have a prior love. My prior love was contemplation. And the Seven Steps to Awakening is one book that I've spent a lot of time with in contemplation. But what has happened for me now is that I have shifted. I have shifted into meditation. So that time in the morning that would have been used for contemplation. I may still do a little contemplation occasionally now, but now I just feel much more drawn into meditation. So I have fallen in love with meditation. So again, it may start as a discipline like it did with me, but it can shift. He also recommends, if you can, practice as much as 12 hours every day. So, and I would say that if you fall in love with it, your heart will guide you to practice for as long as you really can. That's what your heart will guide you to do. So first, just do what you're willing to do. And then as you fall in love, let love guide you into whatever you are going to do. He says it's better if you can be undisturbed and alone during your practice. If you practice at home, you can ask the people you live with not to disturb you when you are practicing unless there is an emergency. Or maybe you can find some other place to practice. A quiet place is best. And in my case, when I first started practicing the loving consciousness method, Danielle still lived with me. So my office was out in the center of the house. I didn't have a private room with a door that I could close. My office was out in the center of the house. And I would be trying to meditate, and people would come by and speak to me. And so I went out and I bought a lovely screen, a privacy screen. One thing I love about this screen is it has pictures on one side of the screen. It has photographs of different, you know, really unique doors in Italy. And on the other side, really unique windows in Italy. So it's just really a lovely, lovely screen. But what I would do is I explained to everyone in my house that when I'm meditating, I'm going to put that screen up by my chair. So I'll be in my chair behind the screen. And when you see the screen up, that means I'm meditating. Please don't disturb me. And everybody in my house honored that. So even though I was out in a traffic area, out in an open area, people would walk by very quickly. Very quietly. They wouldn't speak to me whenever my screen was up. Now, since then, Danielle has moved out, and I have moved my office into what was her bedroom. And I have this lovely blue sofa that my boyfriend bought for me when I came into this office. And so now I can sit in here, and I can close the doors, and it's much easier. But I found my family was very supportive, and just having that screen as a sign to them that this is my meditation time, it was very easily respected. Michael's instructions continue. Bodily posture is not important in the loving consciousness method. However, since one wishes to turn attention away from the body, it is important that the body is comfortable and relaxed and not causing any pain. And there's some more instructions here about posture. But what I'm going to say is that I personally enjoy putting my feet up, like having a footstool or something like that. My purple sofa, one portion of it is like a chaise lounge. You know, like one side of it goes out long. And so that's where I sit when I meditate. I sit on that part and my feet are up. But I do like keeping my spine straight, not because of any superstitious beliefs. I've heard all kinds of what I consider superstitious beliefs about why your spine should be straight. It's not for any of those reasons. It's just that it helps with alertness. I also, and this is just a personal preference, I like to hold something in my lap, you know, in my hands, you know, and I have a rock, a heart-shaped rock that Michael gave me. I the majority of the time, I actually grab that rock and just sit and just gently hold that in my hands. I have a lovely rosary that I got in Santa Fe. I sometimes grab that rosary. I also have a lingam stone that Carrie gave me. Sometimes I grab that. But I like to just kind of hold something in my hand, sit with my feet up, my spine straight, and close my eyes. So that's my preferred posture. And it works really well for me. And again, I think what Michael is saying is find your preferred posture, one that you can be comfortable, one that you can stay in for a long period of time, you know, without, like if you're cross-legged, especially if you're over 45, you know, your legs might start hurting or aching or something. So, you know, make yourself comfortable. Michael says, and this part I think is very, very important, so I'm going to read this exactly as it's written. For the purposes of this practice, the following definitions of the words consciousness and thought must be used. And again, this is very important because if you don't understand the definitions of consciousness and thought, then you probably will not understand the more specific directions regarding the loving consciousness method. So these definitions are really important. So this is the definition of thought. Thoughts are the words of your native language in your mind. If your native language is English, thoughts are those English words in your mind. If you are fluent in two languages, then thoughts are the words of those two languages in your mind. So that's the definition of thought. And we all know what thought is. I mean, when we close our eyes, we probably, most of us, experience thought right away. You know, you close your eyes and maybe you sit there in silence for a little bit, but then the thoughts start, just, you know, whatever they are. They, you know, people often talk about what I got to do after I get done meditating might come up, thinking about that, what I have to do today, right? But that chatter, I call it chatter, that's the thought that he's talking about. Now, this definition is extremely important. Consciousness. When you wake up from sleep, consciousness is that awareness that woke up from sleep. Thoughts come and thoughts go. The background of consciousness does not come and go. The background of consciousness is continuous during all your waking hours until you go to sleep again. Consciousness is you, your awareness, just your consciousness that is looking through your eyes right now. The words awareness, consciousness, attention, observing, watching, looking, seeing, and concentrating all have the same meaning in the practice instructions. So when we get to the practice instructions, we're going to find he uses all of these words, because what Michael is doing is he's giving us several different ways of understanding the practice by using different words, because different ways are really going to click with different people. You know, one set of instructions, one person's going to go, oh yeah, I get it. And another set of instructions, another person's going to go, oh yeah, I get it. So he's pointing to the same thing. The loving consciousness method of meditation is one thing. So he points to the same thing in many different ways, using many different words in order to help us to get it, to know what it is he's pointing to, so that we can close our eyes and practice that type of meditation. So again, the words that mean the same thing in the practice instructions are awareness, consciousness, attention, observing, watching, looking, seeing, and concentrating. And let me just give you an example of how that works. Right now, what I would like you to do is just be aware of your hands. Place your awareness with your hands. Be aware of your hands. And now what I would like you to do is become conscious of your feet. And now place your attention on the noises in the room around you. Observe the temperature of the room that you're in. Is it warm? Is it cold? Look at the thoughts in your mind right now. Are you thinking about the loving consciousness method? Are you thinking about something else? Are you just listening? Look and see. Look. Concentrate on your breathing. What I just did, hopefully it worked well, is I used those different words that Michael was talking about to place your awareness or place your attention or place your consciousness in different places. You know, starting with the hands, we were aware of the hands. And then we were conscious of the feet. But really, when we went from being aware of our hands to conscious of our feet, what shifted was the same awareness. When we, what else did I ask you to do? And we put our attention on the noises in the room. I think we might have done that. We put our attention on the noises in the room. Again, it was the awareness that shifted. So you notice that how each of these words really do mean the same thing. And if you were playing along with me just now, in a way you responded the same way by shifting your awareness to that, whatever I was asking you to put your attention or your awareness on. No matter which word I used, whether I asked you to observe it, whether I asked you to look at it, whether I asked you to concentrate on it, again, see if I'd asked you to see it, it's just shifting your awareness. So all of these words mean the same thing in the practice instructions. Now again, let's look at what these words are talking about. When we're talking about consciousness, he says consciousness is you. He also says the background of consciousness is continuous during all of your waking hours. He tells us that thoughts come and go, but the background of consciousness does not come and go. So I'm going to start at the top of page 82. We're going to look a little more at what this consciousness is, because again, this is the loving consciousness method of meditation. And in order to love consciousness, you have to have a good understanding of what consciousness is. So starting at the top of page 82, consciousness is not thought. Consciousness is that which is aware of thought. And let's just practice with that for a moment. Now, he says consciousness is that which is aware of thought. But I'm just going to say consciousness is that which is aware. It's aware. It's aware of thought, but it's aware of anything that we are aware of. So again, just place your attention on your breathing for a moment. Just breathe naturally, but place your attention there. Concentrate on your breathing. Now something is watching your breathing. What is that? What is aware of your breathing? What is watching it? What is concentrating on it? That's consciousness. Consciousness is aware of your breathing. So this consciousness that is aware of your breathing, yes, yeah, something silent, this consciousness that is aware of your breathing, this is what we are going to be loving. Now, I remember a friend of mine, some of you guys know him, Laurent Elie Lévy. And I probably said that really bad, which is funny because I lived with the guy for a year and a half. But Laurent was with Muji once. And Muji was pointing Laurent at consciousness. Muji may have been calling it awareness, but he was pointing Laurent at consciousness. And Laurent was listening very deeply. And so as Muji was pointing, Laurent's attention was going there. And when Laurent's attention, you know, kind of realized what consciousness was, when he realized it, he was like, that's boring. You know, that's nothing. That's boring. It wasn't exciting to him. And I've heard other people have the same kind of response. You know, consciousness is empty. You know, it's nothing. It's boring. And so how do you love something that's empty? And I will just explain from my point of view how I see consciousness. And this does bring up love in me. So maybe it will for you too. I see consciousness as the foundation for everything. For example, one thing in form that I love is my daughter's face. If any of you all are mothers and maybe even fathers, maybe you understand. Maybe even if you have a pet, maybe you just love your pet's face, right? You think your dog's nose is just so cute. I love my daughter's face, and I can just stare at her face when she lets me, and I just love it. But I could not love my daughter's face. I could not stare into that face and enjoy that face in the way that I do if there wasn't consciousness first. Because consciousness is what's aware of that face. I also love a sunny day, which is one reason probably why I live in Pueblo. I mean, Holy Spirit sent me here, but Holy Spirit sent me to a place knowing that I'd love it, I'm sure. And Pueblo is extremely sunny. We have sun over 300 days a year. It's very sunny, and I love the sun. I've always loved the sun. I've always loved to be outside on sunny days. Love the feel, you know, love that song, Sunshine on My Shoulders by John Denver. But if it were not for consciousness, I could not be aware of the sun on my shoulders, on my hair, on my back. I couldn't feel that sun. If it wasn't for consciousness, I couldn't hear the birds. Right? If it wasn't for consciousness, there would be nothing. And so when I think about the other things that I love, you know, and remember, when we get to this next chapter where Michael starts giving the more specific practice instructions, I've already read the first part of that. Remember, he says that in order to get in touch with the feeling of love, and he gives an example, you can think of the human that you love the most. He says maybe it's a son, a daughter, a wife, a husband, whatever. But you could not know that person that you love the most. You could not have the experience of them if it were not for consciousness. I talked about how I went to take a break a little bit ago, and what I decided to do was have some tea and some chocolate-covered bananas. And I really enjoyed my 15 minutes of rest with my tea and my chocolate-covered bananas. But I could not have enjoyed my tea and my chocolate-covered bananas if there wasn't consciousness. You see, consciousness, awareness, is required for every experience. Without consciousness, there is nothing. There is no experience at all. And so this thought process that I am leading you through right now, this has helped me to fall in love with consciousness. This has been an assistant. You know, I listen to the birds. I love listening to the birds in the morning. I notice that I love listening to the birds, and then I realize that this is consciousness that's listening, and I realize that without consciousness there would be no sound of birds, right? And I love consciousness because consciousness gives me everything. And so I find it easy to fall in love with consciousness, even though it is empty. And it is nothing. And again, Eduardo wrote that is the ego response, that, you know, oh, it's empty, it's boring, and he's absolutely correct. That is the ego response. But there's, you know, I've just shown you how I found the heart response by realizing that consciousness is the foundation of everything. And without consciousness, I could not have any of these experiences of life that I really do treasure and enjoy. So consciousness is that which is aware. And as Michael says, he's talking about of thought, because when we close our eyes, thought and sound are two primary things that we're aware of. So he says consciousness is that which is aware of thought or aware of the absence of thought. So again, the mind is thinking, and you know, we can get absorbed in that thinking and not really pull back and be consciousness, right? Because we allow consciousness to get projected into the thinking. But when we do notice that and we pull back and we be consciousness, being aware of the thoughts, one thing that often happens is the thoughts stop. When you become aware of them and you're aware that you're aware of them, they stop. I always say thoughts are like cockroaches. They run and hide when you turn the light on. So when you become aware that your awareness, aware of thought, they run and hide. You know, at least for a little bit, they'll return, but they run and hide. So you'll experience at least a brief period of no thought. And that awareness is still there. Right? That consciousness is still there. The consciousness was there when you were absorbed in the thoughts. The consciousness was there when you became aware that you were absorbed in the thoughts and you pulled back. And the consciousness was there when the thoughts ran and hide because now you're being aware. The consciousness is that which is constant. Both when there are thoughts and where there are no thoughts, the background of consciousness is aware. The background of consciousness is continuous during all of the waking hours until you go to sleep again. During deep sleep, the thinker is no longer aware of the background of consciousness. Now, that's very interesting. It seems like somewhere else in Michael's book I read, and we may even hit it as I sit here and read now, that although he's giving us a simple example, because we need simple examples, and he's telling us that consciousness is aware the entire time we're awake until we go to sleep again, the truth is, even in sleep, consciousness is aware. It's just that the thinker, which we're so addicted to being the thinker, to seeing ourselves as the thinker and to looking outward, that thinker that looks outward is not aware. That's the borrowed awareness, I guess you could call it. It is not aware. And because we're so used to the outward looking, when we go to sleep, we lose awareness of awareness. Now, I'll tell you what happens to me when I meditate. I can go much longer before I get drowsy and fall asleep, and sometimes I don't get drowsy and fall asleep at all, but if I sit and meditate for a long time, eventually that drowsiness and falling asleep still happens. But what I find is when I'm sitting in the loving consciousness method of meditation and the falling asleep happens, I'm aware. I'm aware of the sleeping. And I think the reason for that is because I have been sitting here practicing looking within instead of looking out. At least that's my theory at this point. And because I had my focus inward on consciousness instead of outward on thoughts or outward on anything else, that when the outer mind fell asleep, when the thinker fell asleep, I was behind it in consciousness. And so I remain in consciousness aware while the thinker is asleep. Now, when I go to bed at night, I close my eyes and the thinker goes to sleep and I'm not aware in that same way. I only have that awareness of sleep when I'm in meditation. But I think that's because my posture is different. I'm not looking out. I'm behind the thinker and that makes all the difference in the world. So this consciousness, although he's telling us it's there from the time we wake up until the time we go to sleep, the truth is it's always there. We just lose our awareness of it. So during deep sleep, the thinker is no longer aware of the background of consciousness. Let me see. I want to read what Eduardo is writing. If you observe awareness steadily, this awareness itself as guru will reveal the truth. Yes, that's from Sri Muru Ganar. And Eduardo also writes, when sleep comes, be awake. Sleep when you are awake. This is to sleep without sleeping. To be free from worries is to sleep without sleeping. And that's living by the words of Bhagavan. So there we see Muru Ganar and Ramana Maharshi speaking about what I was just speaking about. So thank you very much, Eduardo. You're a great assistant by giving us these quotes. All right, so we've seen that consciousness is not thought. Michael continues, consciousness is not emotions. Consciousness is that which is aware of emotions or aware of the absence of emotions. I want to tell you, the ego played a trick on me for a while, and this trick kept me from falling in love with meditation until Michael introduced me to the loving consciousness method. Now, I was in conversation with Michael through email, and I was talking to him about how I could not meditate. And this was before How to Live a Life That Knows Only Love was written. In his previous book, The Most Direct Means to Eternal Bliss, he has a very, very small snippet, very tiny snippet about the loving consciousness method, not much at all. But I was explaining to him about how I was having trouble. And I didn't tell him this part, but part of why I was having trouble is I would close my eyes to go into meditation. And this feeling of love actually naturally started. But because I had read the awareness, watching awareness instructions, and because I knew consciousness was not thought, and I knew consciousness was not emotion, when this feeling of love started, I thought I was doing something wrong. And, you know, like the love was trying to trick me. The love was trying to make me think that love was it, and somehow I wasn't supposed to love. So I started closing down my heart while meditating, and then I just was getting nowhere with meditation. So I didn't tell Michael that part, but I told him enough that somehow he knew that I needed the loving consciousness method of meditation. And so he wrote to me and he gave me some instructions. Again, this book didn't exist yet. So he wrote to me in an email and he gave me some instructions. And he pointed to the little snippet in The Most Direct Means to Eternal Bliss. And the day I received his email, I started practicing the loving consciousness method of meditation. And of course, the loving consciousness method of meditation encourages that open heart, encourages that feeling of love. But I was closing it off because I thought I was doing something wrong. When I was allowed to open my heart in meditation and feel that love, I was able to immediately, the first day, sit in meditation 2 or 3 times longer than I had been. It made all the difference in the world. In fact, I think if I remember correctly, I wrote Michael an email and I said, you know, you're brilliant. You're brilliant. And I think that is what maybe encouraged him to write this book. I think that experience, because this book came very, very quickly after that. So I think that maybe that experience of seeing how well that worked for at least one person encouraged him to write a book that was more focused on the loving consciousness method of meditation. However, what we just read was consciousness is not emotions. And that's true. That feeling of love that I feel when I go into the loving consciousness method of meditation, that feeling of love that allows me to just sit there in this meditation is not the consciousness. But it doesn't mean I have to close off the feeling of love. I just notice the consciousness. And you could say I point the feeling of love towards the consciousness. I love the consciousness. Just like, you know, in form, I can love Jasmine's face, my daughter's face. The love is not my daughter's face, right? There's this feeling of love and there is my daughter's face. But I focus the love on my daughter's face and I enjoy her face, right? Well, in the same way, I can focus this love on consciousness. And as I focus the love on consciousness, I'm able to stay focused on consciousness. It assists me in keeping my attention there. It assists me in keeping my awareness there. So this is why I love the loving consciousness method. It works for me. So consciousness is not emotions. Consciousness is that which is aware of emotions or aware of the absence of emotions. Both when there are emotions and when there are no emotions, the background of consciousness is aware because your consciousness is continuous during all of the waking hours until you go to sleep again. And as we said, really, it's still continuing then. We just aren't noticing it. Again, consciousness is not the objects seen by the eyes. Consciousness is that which is aware of the objects seen by the eyes or aware of the absence of objects seen by the eyes. And in fact, when you get to the next chapter in the book where he has the more specific practice instructions, there are several different descriptions. And one of the descriptions, description L, listen to how description L for the meditation begins. Look at the room. So if you're practicing description L of the loving consciousness method, you start by looking at the room. And when I'm not holding my rosary, when I'm holding my heart that Michael gave me, my rosary is actually hanging on a hook across from me. So I will look at my rosary. All right? When it says look at the room, I will look at my rosary. And then it says, notice your attention looking through your eyes. So what I do is I sit holding my rock, looking at the rosary. And you can do this right now, although you may not be looking at a rosary. Just look straight ahead at anything, even if it's just the wall. You know, look straight ahead at something. And now, notice the awareness that's aware of what you're looking at. You keep your eyes open, you keep looking at it, but become aware of the awareness. It's a non-object, yet you can become aware that you are aware. You can become aware of the awareness that's looking. And now close your eyes and notice that same awareness is still there. You don't see anything. And for me, when I close my eyes, one thing that happens is I immediately become much more aware of the ringing in my ears. It like steps in when my eyes are closed. But that same awareness is aware of the ringing in my ears. And if I could take the ringing in my ears away, if there was some kind of an earplug that would take that away and there was no sound at all, that same awareness would be aware of the no sound at all. So you see, that's the consciousness. It's the conscious of what you see. It's when you close your eyes, it's conscious that you don't see. If you're like me and you suddenly become more aware of some sound, it's the consciousness that's aware of that. And if we could take the sound away completely, it would be conscious of the complete silence, the absence of sight and the absence of sound. It would be aware of that. So just to give you a little more about description L, and then I'll go back. This is the instruction for description L for the loving consciousness method. Look at the room. Notice your attention looking through your eyes. Shut your eyes and turn your attention around to look at itself. Love your attention. Remain with that. Don't move from that. Don't attend to anything else. Don't attend to thought. Attend only to loving your attention. Right? So that's just one of the instructions. He has several different sets of instructions to help us practice the loving consciousness method. But that's one. And I wanted to go to that again, because what we're reading now in his general instructions is that consciousness is not the object seen by the eyes. So I wanted to use that description to help demonstrate what consciousness is. Your consciousness is aware when the eyes are open, seeing objects, and when your eyes are closed, not seeing objects. because your consciousness is continuous during all the waking hours until you go to sleep again. All right, here's the next thing your consciousness is not. Consciousness is not the thought, I. Consciousness is that which is aware of the thought, I, or aware of the absence of the thought, I. Both when you think I and when you do not think I, your consciousness is aware, because your consciousness is continuous during all the waking hours. Here's something else that consciousness is not. Consciousness is not desire. Consciousness is that which is aware of desire or aware of the absence of desire. Both when there is desire and when there is no desire, you are aware, because your consciousness is continuous until you go to sleep again. Now, I think this next sentence is also very, very important. Consciousness is not something far away or mysterious. You know, there's this thought in the mind. Really underneath the thought is, I'm not good enough to awaken or to become enlightened. And I would say that the more genuine way of expressing that is, I'm not good enough to know awakeness. I'm not good enough to have a direct experience of awakeness. And what this thought does is it tricks us in thinking, because I'm not good enough to know awakeness, awakeness must be way out of reach. It's something very, very special, something very alien to me, something that I have no idea about. Right? And so we miss the obvious. The consciousness that is here all of the time. And so this line is very, very important. Consciousness is not something far away or mysterious. Consciousness is that which is looking through your eyes, reading this sentence. Or I would say in your case, consciousness is that which is listening to my voice, read this sentence. Just your ordinary, everyday consciousness, not some special consciousness. And that's very important, because you have to, in order to watch consciousness, you have to know that you can be aware of consciousness. And if you think consciousness is something special that you're not good enough to be aware of, you're never going to be able to watch consciousness. You're never going to be able to love it, because it's always, in your imagination, going to be outside of your reach. Right? Consciousness is that which wakes up in the morning and remains aware until you go to sleep at night. Consciousness is not any of the things or experiences perceived. Consciousness is that which is aware of the things or experiences. And as I said, this is what makes it easy for me to love consciousness. Again, consciousness is that awareness that allows me to have the experience of listening to the birds, feeling the sunshine on my shoulders, looking into my daughter's face. Right? Consciousness allows that. Being aware of the open heart. Consciousness allows me to be aware of love. Just the open heart. Right? So consciousness is that which is aware of the things or experiences. Consciousness is also that which is aware of the absence of things or experiences. Like right now in the winter, I notice there are no birds in the morning. Right? It's quiet outside. It's consciousness that notices that. And Eduardo has written, this is one of Michael's brilliance, your ordinary consciousness. Yeah, so that we don't think it's something out of our reach. The following practice instructions are the loving consciousness method described with carefully chosen, slightly different words. The practice instructions are called descriptions. Use only one description per practice session. If you are going to practice for 1, 2, or 3 hours a day, then for that entire time, you should use the same description. Try description A first. Use a different description each day until you have tried all of the descriptions. Then choose the description that was easiest for you to understand and to practice. And from then on, use only that description. And what I find works really well for me is description L, starting with my eyes open and becoming aware of awareness with my eyes open, and then closing my eyes and remaining aware of awareness, and then turning around and looking at it. That method works very, very well for me. But, you know, so it may be a different method that works well for you. So use a different description each day until you have tried all of the descriptions. Then choose the description that was easiest for you to understand and to practice, and from then on, use only that description. Now, I actually enjoy reading some of the descriptions as inspiration. Some of these descriptions help to open my heart. Remember how Michael said, you know, before you start the loving consciousness method, you can think of a person that you love? Well, actually, that doesn't work as well for me as reading words that invoke the feeling of love. So I start by reading something that invokes that feeling of love, and then I go into the meditation. But some of his descriptions really invoke the feeling of love. So, for example, description P is one that invokes the feeling of love for me. So I might read it as a contemplation to invoke the feeling in love, and then go to description L to actually practice the meditation. Let me read description P to you. Shut your eyes. Now, again, I'm not doing this because I do description L. I just read this to open my heart. Shut your eyes. Be aware of your consciousness. See how deep your feeling of loving your consciousness can go. As soon as I read that sentence, my heart opens. Immediately, I'm feeling that love. See how deep your feeling of loving your consciousness can go. Love your consciousness. Continue loving your consciousness. Remain there. Dwell there. Be there. Live there. I mean, right now my heart is just... See, those words do it for me. And then I, with my heart now wide open, I now turn to description L and start by looking at something. But my heart is now open. You know, so some of these descriptions are just in themselves. They invoke that feeling of love. So, some descriptions, let me see. Yeah, some descriptions might for a moment have you start with your eyes open. However, once you are instructed to close your eyes, keep your eyes closed. The loving consciousness method is always practiced with the eyes closed. When you are loving your consciousness, just remain with that. There is no need to do anything else. Consciousness is empty. It is just consciousness loving itself. It is not a special type of consciousness. It is your ordinary, everyday consciousness that you normally go through the day with, loving itself. Even those words blow my heart open. Eduardo has written, "Love is like a river going to the ocean of consciousness. Both are water." Michael says, you can make an audio recording of the descriptions or on an audio cassette, C CD or MP3, etc. for your personal use. Record only one description per recording. Listen to only one description during a practice session. It is better not to interrupt your practice session by having to turn your recording off. That is why it is best to record only one description per recording. Repeat the same description on the recording every 30 minutes. And that's the end of the general instructions in Chapter 10. Chapter 10 was called the Loving Consciousness Method Preliminary Instructions. And so I had thought, because I hadn't realized, I asked him, I haven't been here for a while, I've been traveling a lot lately, so I have been missing the Michael Langford group, and I asked Jay tonight in text, where were we? And he said, the loving consciousness method. So I immediately thought of the chapter that starts on page 86. So I thought I was going to come in and lead us in a loving consciousness meditation. But I realized very quickly that probably what he meant was chapter 10 instead of the practice instructions on page 86, that he probably meant begin at the beginning of page 79. So I didn't get to what I thought I was going to do, which was leading us in a loving consciousness meditation. But I suppose now that we have gone over these instructions, maybe we can do that next time. As far as I know, I will be here. I don't travel again until February. So we'll see what Jay has planned. This is really Jay's hour. I'm the assistant. And then I guess the Eduardo is the assistant. But it's really Jay's the leader of this group. So we'll see what he wants to do. But I will let him know that we are ready for the actual meditation instructions on page 86. And then after that, there's another wonderful chapter here, chapter 11. Chapter 11 is called Further Clarification of the Loving Consciousness Method. And I just love chapter 11. So I'm really looking forward to going over chapter 11 with you too when we get to that. So we have the remaining part of chapter 10 and then chapter 11. And then we're going to be going to another one of Michael's books. If I remember correctly, we decided on The Importance of Practice. And that's the book we'll be going to next. So we have about 3 minutes. Why don't I just play a little bit of a song for 3 minutes? Why don't I play a song from Michael's playlist? This is a song called, I may have to end it a little early, but it's a song called I Am Light.
Not the mistakes that I have made or any other things that cause me pain. I am not the pieces of the dream I left behind. I am light.
All right, it's time for me to turn it down and to pass the mic over. Thank you very much, y'all, for joining with me tonight to talk about the loving consciousness method of meditation. Hopefully next time we're together, we'll get to practice it. Woo-hoo! All right, bye-bye.